Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, and welcome back to another Mad Science couple hours here on Shazaz Radio and Wake Radio and No Borders and We Roar and all the other networks rebroadcasting right at the moment. We are sitting here today, the dream team, so to speak, of humanity, the outsiders, the thinking out of the boxers, the maddest of all mad science guys. How you doing there, Steve? What do you think of that crazy stuff?
Well, you know, some dreams can be nightmares, mate. Let's be a bit careful with how we describe ourselves.
Hey, hey, we can be the dream team if we like. We're like the really outside of the box thinkers, so to speak.
Well, look at Stan Myers, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
That was his field of dreams, and they came and killed him.
So, that's not funny because Stan Myers got killed, but I just got to seeing the Dream Team being chased. It was a visual that went through my head. The Dream Team being chased off the planet because of our views and such.
Well, as long as it's by large-breasted women in bikinis with the Benny Hill music as a backing track to it, yeah, I'll go for that.
Yeah, I could go that road too, man.
Anyway, so what's the topic this week?
Well, I learned a lot from my last plasma reactor that I built. I have a whole lot of problems with it. Essentially the casing that I put it in. I put it in epoxy resin. Had a flaw to the system. It got cold as you know what out here in my lab do that terrible global warming stuff, and just begin to crack and continued to crack. And so now what I was doing to try to patch all the air leaks so that I could get a good vacuum on this thing seemed to fail because of now I've got leaks in every doggone direction. So essentially, it's a really expensive pile of junk sitting there now.
Yeah.
But it's all right because what I've learned from that reactor is what I'm putting into the newest one. And so I'll do a video here whenever I get this thing together of all the damage that and the flaws to this particular system. And at the in the same video, I'll unveil the new plasma reactor and all the schematics for the plasma reactor at the same time, so that anybody who wants to test theory or whatever can build it themselves. So I'm gonna get a I got a friend at a machine shop, and I'm gonna spend a few bucks and have a few things milled out the way that it should have been done from the get go, but. I figured out that trying to put this thing together with off-the-store parts at this point in the game isn't going to work to do what it is that I want to do. And since I believe in the technology wholeheartedly, I'm willing to invest that money in order to try to get this doggone thing to finally function and prove my theories on plasma. And earlier before the show, you and I were talking about the differences between explosive and implosive forces and the powers that could be extracted from each one. And so with that said, I believe that it falls in line with what I'm talking about. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you want to go to the student's best friend, Wikipedia, I mean, they have two definitions they have a definition of explosion and a definition of implosion. And it goes as such, the explosive force radiates away from a source. With implosion, the object collapses upon itself, generally being crushed by an outside force. So what if you can create an implosion with no external force?
That's a good deal there, because if you can, if you're not having to try to force outward, then your electrons... I just blew that all out the water. Anyway, try it like this. Tesla put a positive field up on the primary coil of his coil. And he did that for a reason. It was because he wanted to literally bait electrons from the earth and then punch them up the coil, and then before the field collapses, punch it again and create a massive discharge out of the top load of the coil. And so the key was getting that first initial charge, the positive charge on the coil, in order to actually start energizing that secondary. With plasma, I believe that the charge is thousands, if not more, times stronger than the field off of an actual Tesla coil, and would have the potential of dragging electrons from the earth and producing a massive amount of energy. And you don't have to worry about an explosion, because as long as you're using that electricity off faster than it's coming in, then you don't have to worry about it pressurizing. Does that make any sense?
Well, I'd just like to make a point here that neither of us are scientists. Neither of us have had a university education. I mean, you had the Navy train you about working on generators, I understand it.
And boilers. And,
yeah, my experience would be from IT companies, particularly from the Fortune 500 group. So we've ways of assessing and analysing things that are by serious people. So, yes, we may not have been to university, and a lot of what I come out with might be absolute waffle and twaddle. But it's because I'm thinking outside the box. You know, I don't automatically reject an idea because somebody's written a paper about it saying that this isn't possible. I mean, let's think about it. They say, oh, well, you're just one man. What can you do? Bill Gates started in his mother's basement, and the Spitfire was invented in a garden shed.
Yeah, that's that's a lot of stuff, man. Here's the thing. We also happen to touch on the laws of physics. Now, they say the laws of physics are written in stone, but then there's a fine line where suddenly they're not written in stone anymore, and that's when you get into the fourth state of matter, when you're talking about plasma. Now, whatever you think of Keshe, he had some ideas about energy from the vacuum and so on and so forth, and, you know, I believe that when you get into plasma, you're talking about a whole different type of energy. So, with that said, this plasma reactor that I'm fixing to put together is going to be really well constructed before it's all said and done. And I'm going to put together a specialized spark gap that you can literally be able to tune through just about any frequency known to man.
Have you considered trying to incorporate an Arduino circuit board into your plasma reactor systems, so you can actually program it via a PC?
Well, I've thought about similar things to it, but no, I ain't really got into that technology.
I mean, if you're working on the basis of wanting to be able to tune your spark gap, there's no reason why you couldn't use an Arduino circuit board hooked up to a potentiometer to be able to reduce and increase the amount of energy going to it.
Well, yeah, you could do that. I could actually do the same thing with a variable capacitor, and see...
But you wouldn't need an Arduino circuit board for a potentiometer, but at least you could take calibration readings in live time through various sensors that you can also include.
Well, that's one of the things that probably could come about of this virtual labs thing that we're putting together, is that other folks that have actually done research in that area could actually help me, you know, connect that to the reactor and get some real-time measurements off of this thing. My what I was talking about by building a specialized spark gap, through my research, I've realized that I can actually change the frequency of the energy that's flowing through these coils by the timing of how long it takes for that spark to actually jump across that gap. Now, you can visualize that if it's a really tiny, tiny gap, it's coming in a whole lot faster than it would be as if it had to jump across, say, you know, maybe an eighth or a quarter inch gap. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, is the speed of electricity faster than the speed of sound?
That's a good question. That's one of the mad scientist mysteries of the universe.
Well, I would have to assume that it is, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to have a live conversation.
Yeah, I'm thinking that myself. But the whole thing is, you know, I've been sitting here, I've been trying to put things together with junk forever and a day, and I've gotten some really cool results. I've gotten some really awesome anomalies out of the deal. Now it's time to take that to the next step and actually build one that I can pressurize with no leaks and get this thing to do exactly what it is that I say it can do.
I thought that the armature device, where you took the armature out of a standard 750-watt drill and turned it in the opposite direction, and it output 200 electricity instead of direct current, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that in itself is a bit mad.
You know, you have, they call them direct drive motors. They're in some of the more modern washers and dryers, you know, instead of having a transmission that's actually a stator motor in there. And I've watched a lot of videos to where they get these things putting out some really serious arcs. I mean, some serious high voltage. I mean, enough that literally could kill you if you messing around the wrong way. But with that said, it's really super easy to produce a massive amount of high voltage. The problem is getting that voltage into current and watts to where you can actually have usable electricity. And so...
What I find quite interesting is a lot of the devices that I've got, things like my charger for my mobile phone, lighting particularly, it takes 240 volts and drops it down to 12 volts.
Yeah, which is a waste.
I'm still trying to work out why they want to use 12 volt direct current in 50 watt lamps. Because I've got a series of 350 watt lamps, halogen lamps, that take 240 volts and drop it down to 12 volts.
Well, the thing is, I think that they're using way too much power to begin with just to try to do something simple. See, when you look on the megahertz range on an electric motor, or the kilohertz range on the electric motor, you know, they say like 60 kilohertz on there. That's the frequency by which the electricity is traveling through that wire, shaking up those electrons, creating friction, which in turn creates heat. And that's why anything above 60 kilohertz cycle coming through there will actually burn that motor up. It'll destroy the coating on the wire, and suddenly you lose power.
So what actually is a smart drive motor?
Well, it's essentially a stator motor. It's kind of like if you pull the top off of a lawnmower, you know, like a electric start lawnmower, they have what's called a stator inside there. And the flywheel itself actually has magnets on the inside that whenever it spins around, goes across these coils and recharges your battery while you're running your lawnmower. And so it's not new technology or anything. It's just essentially, it's a permanent magnet electric motor is what it is. And the way that they designed this so that, you know, you got a direct drive on your doggone washing machine instead of having to have a transmission that takes out, you know, it's supposed to be more energy efficient. But
okay, right. The definition of stator here. It's a term that's bandied around a lot, and I've never really got me around what a stator actually is. But it is quite a good definition of it. It's the stationary part of a motor, dynamo, turbine, or other working machine about which a rotator turns.
Yeah. So
I'm not trying to dumb it down for people, but, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I've researched, and it's just one of those terms that I never really clearly understood. So a stator is something that doesn't actually move itself, but...
Well, if you looked at Muddy's actual flux wind turbine, that the coil that he puts in resin inside there, that would be the equivalence of a stator. You know, you got your magnets on your flywheels that are going around that. The coils are actually stationary. They're not going anywhere. And the magnetic flux of lines of the magnets flying around on them rotors, cutting through the copper windings inside that stator, is what actually gets the current flow in the doggone wind turbines that he designs.
So basically, if you wanted to identify what actually a stator motor was, you'd be looking for something with a lot of copper coils and magnets in it.
Yeah.
I hate to dumb it down, but I mean, for me, there's terms that I've heard all of my life, and you just accept them.
Well,
you don't actually know what they mean, and I think that's one of the things that we can bring to people is, if I don't understand something, then I'll come find out.
You can
and
get
that's
them,
how difficult it is, people.
You can get them out of riding lawnmowers, but the flywheels on riding lawnmowers are really heavy. Now, that could be a plus if you was going to build a generator using an old stator off of a riding lawnmower, because the centrifugal force, once you get that flywheel to spinning, will help, you know, assist it in spinning even faster after a while. And I believe that's why they use them on mowers, and they're balanced out just right so that, you know, it, you know, don't rip the motor apart while you're trying to recharge your battery. That these direct drive motors that I'm talking about in washing machines, those are, they got like plastic housings on them. And so you could actually get that thing to spinning pretty doggone fast if you put it on the right shaft, right bearings, or whatever. There was a video that I saw out there on YouTube where this guy hooked him up to a lawnmower motor, and he was pulling some serious arcs off this thing, man.
Well, I know a lot of the top-end luxury cars have started using flywheels in them, because what happens when you pull up at the traffic lights, the engine switches itself off.
Well,
it literally stops. But what they have a flywheel in it. And when you pull away, you're actually pulling away by an electric motor that's assisted with a flywheel. And the flywheel gives it the instant torque. It's clever stuff.
I'm getting muddy in here, if I can. Trying anyway. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in flywheel technology, man.
Oh, so they're starting using it in cars like BMW. Well, not starting, they've been using it a while. In Mercedes, BMW, the real high-end stuff, then it's obviously a technology that's worth having. It's just they don't percolate it down to the likes of scum like us, I guess.
Well, the reason why I'm interested in flywheel technology is because I want a power source that I can power my reactor, all right? And I want a really strong power source, because the higher I can get that positive charge... How you doing there, buddy? The higher I can get that positive charge inside that reactor, the more plasma that I can actually create.
Hmm. Well, I knew a Dutch guy that actually built a flywheel for his push bike, for the dynamo on the lights, because every time he stopped, there's no direct drive energy going into it.
Buddy, you're destroying my radio show.
Not now.
There you go. But you got a lot going on in the background.
I got something going in the background.
Yeah, I can hear me too.
Turn your speakers off.
Nah, I just stopped that player.
Echo.
I had that set differently. Okay. Yeah, this thing's a virtual audio machine.
Oh, lovely. Hey, would you classify your actual flux? I can hear myself echoing. You're killing me. All right, he's there. Oh, buddy, what are you doing to me, brother?
Just a second, Bob.
I guess he's restreaming our phone.
No, it shouldn't be doing that. That's what I wasn't ready for. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear me too.
Do you hear yourself?
Yeah.
Echo.
Huh.
You know what? We found free energy. It's at Buddy's house.
Oh. Hey, let me jump off here. I'm going to fix something else.
All right, cool. That was exciting.
Well, I'd never say that it's going to be run-of-the-mill scripted stuff on Shazoo's Mad Science show.
Hey, we don't call it Mad Science for nothing.
Yeah, but it's nice to mix it up every now and again.
Yeah.
Muddy, to my mind, though, knows a hell of a lot more about all of the energy generation technologies than I do. And I've always got time to listen to his opinion, especially when I'm talking nonsense, because he does tend to put me straight.
Well, I may not know all the high-tech terminology, and I just steer away from it because I'm a rebel against the laws of physics. I don't believe the laws of physics are written in stone by any means, and when I get this new plasma reactor actually put together, I aim to prove that, you know? I said to everybody, I'm making 2014 the put-up-or-shut-up year, you know? If we can't get it accomplished, I give up, man.
I'm hopefully going to be able to access some resources in Asia soon, electronic components and stuff like that. And I've got a plan maybe to be out there for a while.
Cool.
And I'm hoping that there's going to be a different selection than's commonly available to us.
Well,
one of the things that I would like to say to people is when we look at the technology that's available to us in the European Union, and probably the US as well, because they're very similar. They come out from the same plant that they're manufactured in and then get distributed on a worldwide basis. But that technology comes with a proviso that the people that develop and implement it recoup the cost of research and development. That means that we could have a technology that would be sitting around for 10 years before we even access it, because the current stuff that they've manufactured hasn't been sold yet. think about it. Every time you buy a computer, within 6 months of buying it, it's out of date.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well,
so when you look at roadmaps for businesses, I mean, this is one thing that we used to look at quite a lot with the OpenVMS operating system, and most operating systems, is you've got a technological roadmap where they've gradually introduced improvements over a period of time, because the ability for people to be able to learn and absorb and effectively use those technologies requires training. You know, one guy sits in a room for 3 years and doesn't even see the world of any nature at all whatsoever, comes up with a brilliant idea, but it doesn't mean to say that everybody that uses it is going to have that level of brilliance around them. So they need to learn it and understand it. And I think there's a lot of technology out there that would significantly enhance our lives, but it's being held back by commercial interests.
Well, and that's the whole freaking key, isn't it? You know, it's just, I believe that we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. You know, there's you people that, they out there, they're searching down the UFO and they're trying to get something on video or something on camera, picture, or whatever. They're trying to capture these doggone devices or craft all day long, every day. It's been going on since back as far as you can possibly imagine, that somebody's been trying to get one of these UFOs on freaking camera. Somebody's trying to get evidence of Bigfoot, you know. They're trying to... Actually, one guy out there says he shot Bigfoot, you know. If he did, I think he committed murder. But either way, these craft out there could potentially be United States governments or other governments around the world technology... That, you know, like the stealth bomber, it was around God knows how many years before it was ever actually known to public that it was actually there. And so...
Muddy's back.
So with that said, yeah, he's on the seashore too. How you doing, Muddy?
Oh, doing right. Everything sound better now?
Yeah, you're a lot better now. So with that said...
Yeah, the problem was Microsoft took over Skype, and since then, it likes to change settings on its own, so I just did a reboot. I said, forget that.
So, cool. With that said, the technology that we actually have in our hands out here as the general population doesn't even scratch the surface of what's actually in the elite's hand. And I argue with anybody on the planet about that. I mean, some folks think, well, if they had that technology, why wouldn't we have it? You watch TV once in a while, and you'll see some amazing little devices, miniaturized cameras and phones, and just massive technology.
I have a simple answer for that statement. When they say, well, if the elites have this technology, why don't we? It's a bit like saying, well, the elites have billion-dollar bank accounts. Why can't I meet the end? Why can't I make enough to meet my basic responsibilities?
Because, Steve, somebody has to be the slave.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the consumption society, is you've got to have this pyramidal elite at the very, very top. And there's very little room at the top of any pyramid.
Yeah, it'd be crowded
out
there.
For them to be there, we have to be here. And technology is our freedom. And one example of that is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, a cryptocurrency made up by some weird Japanese guy that nobody's ever met, that has a group of developers that use only open source code. I mean, basically what that means is you can send money from one country to another for cents. They looked at particular examples of, you know, Western banks. If you wanted to send $1 million from one country to another, it cost you $100,000 in fees. When you can do that with Bitcoin for 0.6 of a cent, that gives you freedom.
Well, you know, I might need to get up in that Bitcoin stuff, because I could use a few cents.
Now, I will warn people that Bitcoin is a volatile cryptocurrency, and it's an experiment.
Well, there's another one out there called Megacoin, and so...
Megacoin, Bitcoin, Litecoin, they're all on the basis of a cryptocurrency where the only thing you need to transfer money is access to the internet.
In fact, that's Bitcoin.
Well...
I mean, what's your opinion on Bitcoin, Muddy? Because, I mean, we're talking about mad science, and from my mind, the biggest innovation in personal financial freedom in my lifetime is Bitcoin, because nobody can control it.
That's right. And it doesn't get taxed by a government or anything like that. The cool thing is, if the dollar dies, you still have
buying power.
And you can convert it into any currency that you want. So I think it's pretty safe. To have a little bit out there. I got 1.2 Bitcoin. Actually, a little bit more. But that's worth over $1,000 right now. So I'd say I'm pretty safe in that aspect. I was going to cash them all in, but I didn't have the heart to do that. So I left 1.2 in there to play with, and I might expand into like Earthcoin and a few others with the 0.2. And see if they grow. Go ahead.
This was put to me by a financial specialist. He said Bitcoin in its current form is no security whatsoever, because it could all sort of just disappear tomorrow. And there's not much you can do about it. Because
I don't think so. I don't think so. But to me, the point
that he made, Muddy, was if your currency collapses, there are many checkpoints in your local area that will accept Bitcoin.
Right.
So if you've got, say, 10 Bitcoin in an account and the currency collapses, you can still go and spend.
Right. Or I can trade and make more if I want to. That's a wonderful thing. And the term Bitcoin actually means like BitTorrent coin. It's recorded on thousands of computers. Every transaction is recorded on thousands of computers around the world, just like any BitTorrent. You get 60 peers, and they're all transmitting. If you're transmitting a picture, and it's got millions of pixels. One pixel is different on one of the copies coming in. They pair them, and if the one pixel is wrong, then it gets changed so that all the computers have the same thing. So it self-sustains itself and keeps its own records, and it's very, I mean, you could sit there and delete somebody's Bitcoin wallet or whatever, and basically if you got your passcode BIP, it'll draw it all back. Now, in other words, somebody could crash my whole computer and I haven't lost it. All I got to do is sit there and open another wallet and put in my code, and bam, it's all right back there.
So
transferred from millions of them with zero mistakes, because so many different peers comparing it all. So it's pretty secure.
So you mean
it's
to tell me?
It's the ultimate in what they call peer review. I mean, the concept of peer review is everybody looks at what you're doing within your peer group, and then you arrive at a conclusion. Well, I mean, if everybody's looking at your anonymous transactions, because that's one of the things that people don't understand, is it tells you what the amount is, but it doesn't tell you who's doing it.
So you mean to tell me that that somebody was actually wise enough to figure out how to make a monetary system on the internet that sustains itself and does all that, but with every bit of technology we're out here, that we ain't farther along than what we are right now? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, well, some strange little Chinese man that never got saw before.
I thought it was Japanese.
Well,
right.
It drives me crazy. You know, we got the Chinese supposedly just landed on the moon here. You know, they got a rover up on the moon, all right? And so there's going to be some conspiracy theories come up out of this deal right here, whether the Chinese did or didn't get on the moon, and whether or not they're going to go over there and see whether or not the Americans were ever on the moon. So if indeed they did get on the moon, and if indeed we were on the moon, that happened a long time ago, and we should be even further than we are now. I mean, supposedly we're on Mars. But how's the average Joe going to know what's what these days?
I think that we've been led to a society where we automatically accept authority.
Well, I reject authority.
So do I, and I think a lot of people do. And what we get is this constant narrative through publicly funded and state-controlled media to tell us that everybody does accept it without thought or critical thought or any sort of you know, rejection, where most of the people I talk to don't believe in anything of what's going on at the minute.
Well, that's why when it comes down to my mad science, I reject the laws of physics, and people always tell me, you can't do that, it's against the second law of thermodynamics, or whatever, you know, you just it can't be done, you know. And
everybody takes turns getting ripped off by our governments. One way or another, they'll either pull some kind of legal process on you or say, oh, you violated this, and they'll sit there and they'll... You know, and like when you reach out and you say, oh, what a cute pit bull, and he likes to bite your hand off. Do you reach out and pet the pit bull no more? No. You start rejecting it. You say, no way, not again. So, yeah, you back away from it. And if they feel like you're being unfriendly, oh, well, I guess they needed to learn a little sooner, you know, how to treat people and how not, you know, they don't need to rip off everybody. And some people just, it's like they suck them into a system, just like a pharmaceuticals, man. If you got cancer, all of a sudden, man, yeah, they're gonna find all these little treatments that cost millions of dollars and stuff like that, when you can go right over the stupid border and get the treatment for, like $5. You know, why? Because the pharmaceutical is made here in the United States. And it's the same, you know, why should I pay big bucks when it's closer to me here? Then I can do what I can go, across the border and get it much, much cheaper.
Well, my question on that, Muddy, is why is it that herbal medicines are rejected by the government, but yet, chemotherapy, you go get cancer and you go get chemotherapy and all your freaking hair falls out. So it's
right, because they're poisoning you, and if you die, well, you can't sue them, so that's a cool thing. So they're covered that way. And the deal is, the herbal stuff, well, it, you know, it's not really listed as medicine and stuff, or the organics. They can't call it a medicine, so they can't control it. They can't make money off it. When they can make money off it, Then they'll push it as much as they can, but they're going to make it as expensive as possible.
They made it illegal for you to make any claims on there. So if you say dietary supplement, that's just a way to get around where you don't have to say, yeah, this will help you, this will cure athlete's foot or something like that. You know, if you put the word cure on there, then suddenly you got all these government regulations coming down on you. But my point was that if you read the doggone side effects, the possible side effects on any of the government-approved medicines out there, hell, I'd rather deal with the disease than the side effects. You know what I mean?
These days, the water coming through your faucet has more side effects.
Yeah. And so, you know, with that said, I'm saying it's up to the average Joe. If we ever going to get out from underneath the bondage of the man, we're going to have to start thinking for ourselves and outside the box. And that's what I do. You know, I think outside the box. I don't subscribe to the laws of physics, because even in their own laws, when we talk about the research that I'm doing in the plasma field, once you get into the plasma, which is the fourth state of matter, the laws of physics don't apply anymore. They can't explain what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, if we're talking about cancer treatment, Muddy, in particular, there's research that's come out from, I think it was Barcelona in Spain. A Spanish scientist has taken the cannabis plant, and he's found that the CBD content in it, that's one of the active chemicals in the cannabis plant that you don't get stoned off of, will go into a cancerous cell and tell itself to shut itself down. Because when you have immune-based cancers, the immune cell itself retains a CB1 receptor, which allows the CBD chemical to go into, and it tells the cell to die. So, I mean, for me, cannabis is the Bitcoin of medicine, because they cannot control it.
Well, props to Colorado, I think it is, over here in the States, made it illegal to buy it for recreation purposes.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you've got a serious illness and you've got a choice between growing a plant or consuming a plant that somebody else has grown, or using radioactive materials in your body, which are you going to try first?
Well, You know what?
I'd rather try something that strengthens my immune system rather than kills my body and says, well, we'll see who wins.
I mean, chemotherapy and radiotherapy are like nuclear weapons to swat a fly. Literally. I mean, perhaps they do work, but the damage and harm that they cause, which is known as a side effect, but to me, death is not a side effect, it's rather a permanent effect.
Well, and that's why I believe in the Rife machine, Royal Raymond Rife, whenever he was working on frequencies to destroy specific, you know, as opposed to like chemotherapy, which is indiscriminate, it will go in and kill the good cells right along with the bad cells. But what he was talking about was getting it at the right frequency to where it would only kill the bad cells.
Right, because all life forms have a resonant frequency, and that's a life form that's, it's not actually your cells like they tell you in the books, just like they're, you know, who knows what's actually in the center of the earth. They've only been able to drill down about 12 miles. So, you know, how can they sit there and tell you in the history books that the earth is full of a magma core? It's not right.
Well, I want to point something science fiction out. if you've noticed, life imitates art. If you go back and watch like all the old science fiction flicks, like Buck Rogers all the way up to Star Trek, The Next Generation, and so on and so forth, you'll notice in them videos, the doctors are using these nifty little devices that are sending a signal out that you can sit there and watch as it's actually healing a cut on somebody's face or something like that. And so a lot of the old technology that was way back when, remember when old Buck Rogers used to have Dick Tracy used to have a doggone watch that he could communicate and see a picture of the person on the opposite side? That wasn't even on the general population out there in the market yet, you know, but there it was. It was in the cartoon. And then nowadays, look at your cell phone. I mean, you have voice technology on your cell phone, and you can actually see the other person on the other side with certain units and stuff. And so here we were years ago when Dick Tracy was on TV showing a device that fit on his wrist that he could actually talk back and forth, and the Star Trek communicators, the beam me up Scotty thing, you know. But it's now reality. And so,
you
see where I'm coming from?
Isaac Asimov and also Gene Roddenberry are responsible for most of the science fiction predictions by putting them into their stories and stuff that are actually reality today.
Well,
I read a lot of science fiction, especially from the 50s and 60s, mate, and they're two of the people that have proposed strange and unusual ideas, but there are a lot more. There was one guy called Alfred Bessler that came across the concept of teleportation using the human mind.
Well, see, Muddy said just a minute ago, everything around has a resonant frequency. If you can match that frequency identical, you could either destroy the doggone deal, or you can move it around in time and space, as far as I'm concerned.
I believe exactly what Steve said. There are people out here who can transfer themselves from place to place and through time with their mind.
Well, you know, the body that we're in is essentially just like a car, you know. Once the car breaks down, you get out and walk.
Well, I mean, think about it. Is time actually linear? Does it progress in a chronological order? Or is that just the way that we perceive it?
I believe
everything I see, every one of the details that I see, is time actually goes backwards. And call time going forward. We're going backwards in time.
I believe that time is only relevant to the perception of the observer.
Right. So if you're going backwards and it seems like it's forward, then it's forward to you. Your reality is what you see.
So, with that said, Muddy, who is it out there in this world that has the right to tell me what my reality should or shouldn't be? Therefore, why is there any government trying to regulate my lifestyle? If I want to enjoy a little bit of herb off the side there, then, you know, isn't that my life, my choice, my body, whatever, you know?
Yeah, just like alcohol, if you want to be impaired, that's your choice.
Yeah, if I...
Just don't you know, go into anybody else's rights by driving off the, your side of the road and hitting them, well, then you're in trouble because you should not have been inebriated. Your dendrite should not have been happily misfiring. You should have been happily misfiring at home.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm just saying, you know, if I want to shorten my lifespan with whatever it is that I want to do in my life, because it is my life, then, you know, what harm is it do to anybody else as long as, like you said, I don't go out there and do no harm to anybody else. But
well, is it safer for a truck driver to go down the road falling asleep, or is it safer for him to take a Benny or White Cross?
Yeah, and take
get
a
to
nap.
The other end and just sleep while he has to wait in dock because he made it there in time and they ain't ready for him. Just go ahead and sleep, and then when he's done, go off to the truck stop and sleep, and then go off for your next deal and make up for it. What you know, should it be a legal process for somebody to say, yeah, I think it's safer that I take this White Cross? Yeah, well, sure, it's a health problem or a hazard or maybe even an addiction.
Well,
but
my concern with that,
somebody's life.
My concern with that would be that, you know, like everything's going to be going a little faster for that particular individual. He might not realize how fast he's actually driving.
In the first days of a truck driver, of the truck drivers out here across America, basically there were truck drivers that had several packs of cigarettes and kept one lit all the time but never took a puff off the stupid thing. What they used it for is they stuck it between their first and second finger and held the steering wheel. And if they started to fall asleep, it would burn their fingers and wake them up.
Well, I'm not advocating that anybody burn their fingers or get all off into dope or anything. I'm just trying to make a freaking point, man. If you look at what's actually being suppressed out here in this world, we should be a hell of a lot further than what we are. And we ain't any further than we could be because of the simple fact that somebody out there want to regulate everything under the sun. They want to regulate water. They want to regulate CO2, you know, so you can't breathe without paying taxes or whatever. But as long as the average Joe allows them to do this kind of stuff, heck, you're just going to keep falling deeper in the abyss of slavery, so to speak, because, you know, you just can't do anything anymore.
And every time somebody comes up with a way to make energy out of just the freest thing on this earth is some water, or they'd suck it right out of the air or out of the earth, their lives are in danger.
Well,
so how can you progress?
That's because, like Steve said, man, you can't let them have any power, because power is freedom, you know? Like knowledge is power. If you got knowledge and you got power, you got freedom. And they can do whatever they want. I mean, it's blatantly obvious because they forcefully vaccinate people in the world. You know, if you say, okay, no, they don't. Well, yeah, they do, because they decided that it's good to put fluoride in your water or, you know, whatever in your vaccination to keep the vaccination from going bad. You know, they got preservatives in there. Either way, that's not natural and it's not good for you. But somebody above you made that that executive decision to tamper with your life and tamper with nature. They didn't ask you if you wanted it. They just forced it upon you.
Oh yeah, they're tampering with nature. They're right along with that Agenda 21. They got all them chemtrails up there spraying beryllium, boron, and nanoparticles of aluminum. They get down into the soil, the trees suck them up, it goes to the leaves, the trees die. Your plants and everything out there do the same thing. The starfish on the coasts of the world are turning into a white goo. They're just disintegrating and dissolving.
But
you know what? You're sucking all this stuff in, and you're also getting all that stuff from Fukushima, which wasn't something that happened naturally. It happened because somebody made it happen. It was planned. It was planned where it was built. It was planned all the way on back.
But,
yeah.
But, Muddy, the general consensus out there is those are just contrails, regular just jet trails.
Yeah,
you know?
I had about five or six people attack me on YouTube about that subject. They said, no, well, they figured out there's 5% more moisture in the atmosphere now. Okay, so every day it's got, you know, I watch this barometric pressure go up, and I look at the humidity go up and down and up and down. There's days it's down, there's days it's up. On all those days, I saw them chemtrails. And even when it was nice and dry.
Well,
Matt, you can't tell me that crap. I didn't see it when I was a kid. There were humid days where I saw saw storm clouds coming. You know the humidity and barometric pressure is slamming.
Yeah, but
and
now...
if a plane went by, it was still a contrail, not a chemtrail.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but
I
now,
sat there and had to explain it to them, make them look as stupid as I could possibly do and smile at them at the same time. And they went away.
But now that the majority of the population's freezing their nuggets off around the globe, now the cold is due to global warming. So...
it ain't so much global warming. Over the last 40 years, we have actually dropped in temperature, not raised in temperature.
Well, you and I know the facts, but Muddy, you... listen.
And our Lubbock extremes have been very low.
Muddy...
tilted more. They did that.
Muddy, you and I know the facts, all right? And Steve knows the facts. Majority of the average Joe out there who actually thinks outside the box and for themselves knows the facts. But the elite up there, the so-called educated scientists are going along with the flow in that process, hindering humanity and making things a hell of a lot worse, because these guys out here under the guise of so-called protecting us from global warming issues are doing a lot of crap, and they're getting by with it, and we're letting them do it.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't have concrete evidence. Nobody's talking about it, but I sure see by the... I'm just from observation around me, looking at the sun, looking at the moon, looking at everything. They say the earth, the moon is tilted. Sorry, I didn't take notes beforehand, so I couldn't tell you. But a lot of people are saying the moon is tilted, and the earth is tilted more. I propose that our orbit is also going on a more elliptical path than normal.
Go back
so
and look.
Farther from the sun and closer to the sun.
Go back.
One summer, we're going to have an extreme summer. The next summer, it doesn't seem like it even got warm. And the same thing with our winters.
Go back and look.
Our elliptical orbit is really messing up.
Go back and look at my video that I did in 2011, and you will see that I said in 2011 exactly what I said saying today. The Earth has tilted. The moon and the all the cycles. That's why we're seeing this crazy weather. And as far as this whole freaking global warming thing. Every time that these doggone morons out there get it in their head that they're fixing to lose the battle for, global warming / climate change, the first thing they did was when they first come out and said it was global warming and people started noticing that the temperatures were still dropping, then suddenly they were like, oh, well, it's climate change. Because now you can't argue with climate change because it changes on the dime, you know. Some places it could be, like, perfectly sunny out and then you get buckets of water in your face. And then when that still didn't cut it, now they've changed the story once again to now the cold is due to the planetary heating up. Now, I don't know where the hell they get heat from cold, but in my neighborhood, when it's cold, it's cold. And radiant heat, like those stupid little radiant heat, what do you call those, infrared heaters that are supposedly really good, those things
radiant
suck. They suck. I've got one. I paid almost $300-$400 for it, and it's the worst damn heating in the world. The moment you turn that off, everything gets cold in the damn room. It doesn't retain any heat, supposedly, like they said. It's actually a waste of energy. The only heat you're actually getting off of that thing is from the hot bulbs inside there that are, you know, getting hot and circulating some damn air. But as far as I'm concerned, they're the most inefficient heating system, well above your average freaking doggone space heater. They suck, literally.
Yeah. Either there's a way to store that heat, though.
Well, even though...
You can actually heat up really, really salty water. I mean, salt-laden water. And heat it up, and it will hold a lot of heat.
Yeah, well,
before it changes its temperature going up. And when you get it up there to a real high temperature, where it's just on the edge of boiling, okay, well, that battery's full. And that thing will keep your house warm all night.
Well, modify one then, but my point is this, infrared heat is the worst freaking heat. It sucks,
Yeah.
If you watch my video, I explain how, like, the side of the globe that has the sun facing it, it's warm. The opposite side is cooling down. So you got half the planet heating up while the other half is cooling down. If it wasn't for our moon going around flexing our crust, causing our seismic and our tidal activity, we'd be even colder than that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you remember that little circuit I showed you where you take a light-emitting diode and you make a loop by the dimensions and put it near your cell phone and it lights up?
Yeah.
Take that over towards your electric radiant heater. And notice those little coils inside there, the size of those coils. And read a little bit about sporadic harmonics, or sporadic harmonics. Basically something that plagues somebody with poor radio design. But I'm telling you, those heaters put off a lot of magnetic frequencies continually. You're bathing in radiation.
Yeah, so I
don't like them.
You can't have a nuclear reactor in your yard because, you know, regulations don't allow
radiation.
Because you might glow in the dark and your hair will fall out. Even though...
Well, go ahead and take that little circuit over towards your heater. See how close you can get to before that sucker lights up full brightness.
Yeah, I'll try that. But, you know, doggone, the history tells a whole different story than the doggone government tells. You know, they got all these doggone Food and Drug Administration. They're there for your protection, all right? Well, they allow all kinds of crap in food like saccharin and aspartame and all this kind of crap. We can go into hours of debate on whether or not it is or isn't good for you, but I submit that all you got to look at is that anything you put in your body synthetic is going to screw you up, no matter what, you know? So, why in the hell is people still listening to the government?
Because Congressman Bongwater is too powerful.
That stands for Food and Drug Administration? I always thought it stood for Fools and Dummies Administration.
Well, okay, you can't take cannabis in most of the states because, you know, for medical purposes, but either way, it's like really super regulated. They only give it to certain patients. You can't take it because, you know, it's all natural, but it's classified as a drug. Okay, you can't take it. But you can go right to the doggone store shelf and you can buy medicine that clearly states on there, down on there, possible side effects, not excluding death. I ain't never remember ever hearing about anybody dying from smoking a little grass.
Oh, there are few. Very few. Very, very few.
Yeah.
Europe is different from America. You've got the Food and Drug Administration that regulate drugs and pharmacy and products in America. We have something different here. So there's different rules. And I had dandruff, and there's a particular product called Nizoral that's quite efficient at removing it. And I went into the Giant Eagle chemists or drugstore in Dallas and asked them for a bottle of Nizoral, and they said that they couldn't sell it to me because it hadn't been approved by the FDA. And I had a headache as well, so I bought some paracetamol, and there were 100 in a bottle. 100 paracetamol, 500 milligram tablets in one bottle. And I said, well, it's just as well I don't want to commit suicide with bad hair then. I mean, what are you talking about, woman? It's a dandruff treatment.
Well, it's ludicrous, man. If you actually think about this, there's conspiracies out there like Agenda 21 talking about depopulating the planet. All right, well, okay, if this is really such a conspiracy, then why is it that they'll sell this crap that could potentially kill you? Either it's because, A, they're stupid as all hell, stupider than a box of rocks and all get out, or they're doing it intentional. You know, there's only two possibilities here. Either they're doing it because they're dumb as everything under the sun, or they're doing it intentional. So I'm leaning more towards the intentional portion of the deal because of the simple fact is I know that somebody stands to make money as long as I keep buying cold medicine. The common cold should have been cured hundreds of years ago. Probably was. And if you cure the common cold instead of just masking the symptoms, then what you have is a good customer, a repeat customer, because I'm going to keep coming back because I'm tired of my nose running. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, your body raises in temperature in defense of what's putting toxins in your system and all that. It's trying to bake it out. Chemotherapy tries to kill you and the thing and see who comes out on top, and either way they win money.
Yeah. So,
but sure. If you come up with something that is just free as can be, like a spoon of baking soda a day to change your body from an acidic to more of a lower pH, basically the organisms cannot live in you, and they will die off.
I met a guy in Portugal.
And if you go ahead, and if you take this the broccoli, fresh homegrown broccoli that isn't got all that stupid GMO in it, you look at the florets and they got this nice dark bright purple on the tips of the florets. Now inside that purple part of the florets of broccoli is your cure for cancer, dude. It reverses the cancer. It takes it up. But you know it's free. And they're not going to give you that at a hospital because they know it works and they can't charge you much for it. And that's the bottom line. I look at government as one thing. I look at, let's see, I take you, I take Cultus, I take Steve, and I listen to everything you say. And everything you all say seems to be the truth. When I find something that's not the truth, we try to figure it out and talk it out. Yeah. But if something sticks to it on one lie, that's a person I'm not going to trust anymore.
Well, how many lies?
They've lied to us so many times and been caught in so many lies. Well, how can we trust the government?
Yeah.
Why do we not feel like they are our friends? They are not.
Is something really important that I'd like to bring to people's attention, because they may have missed it over Christmas. An icebreaker gets stuck in the ice.
I didn't miss it.
Now, supposed global warming scientists had three icebreakers try and get to them on the ice pack in the Antarctic. There was a Chinese, a Russian and an Australian icebreaker that couldn't get to them, and they were stuck on a Russian ship in the middle of the Antarctic ice pack
and had to be taken out by helicopter.
Yeah, it was a helicopter rescue. It was, they said, impossibly thick ice.
So
now it makes perfect sense why they want to call it climate change, because there is no bloody warming.
Yeah, but now I get freaking aggravated as heck, man, because the mainstream media out there, these guys must be freaking morons of epic proportions, because I don't know whether they're like living in a bubble and they actually believe what it is that they're spewing out, or if they're actually part of the whole freaking game and they know that it's all a crock and they just stand to gain money from it. But, you know, it's blatantly obvious to me, for example, if I'm sitting there shoveling 20 inches of snow off my doggone driveway, it's not hot outside. And it don't take no damn 20 years to heat up a planet. You know what I'm saying?
I don't trust a single word that comes out of these people's mouths when they reference people like Al Gore on the 350.org website as one of their trusted contributors.
Yeah, so if you and I and Muddy, now all three of us being the dream team of science, you know...
And maybe that is a little bit of a nightmare.
Well, you look at each of these people in office. They make their debut as something that they totally tear up afterward.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Well, look, that's why you should vote for guys like Congressman Bongwater, because he told you right out of the gate. He was blatantly obvious with you. I'm going to screw you on taxes. You know, he's going to fatten his wallet. He's going to screw you on taxes. Now, if these guys were to come out and say to the whole world, look, I'm screwing you on taxes when I get in there, you know, chances are they're not going to get elected. But I would rather vote for that guy who's going to tell me the truth right out of the gate, you know, as opposed to the guy who's going to look and smile me in the face and say, yeah, whenever I get there, I'm going to fight for your rights and I'm going to protect the Constitution. And then as soon as they get in office, bam, they do just totally the opposite and start voting towards the guy that you didn't want in office. You might as well just voted the guy you didn't want in. You would have got the same result.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, most of these people are endemic liars. I mean, there are good people in government that try and limit the damage, but they're not supposed to be there to limit the destructive activities of their colleagues. They're supposed to be there to debate on what is the best way forward for a nation of people, or a large group of people, if nothing more.
Well, the guys
they're
out there...
They're not supposed to be there to bitch each other like they're back at school.
The guys out there that are into green everything, you know, go green, some people call them tree huggers and whatever, you know. You know, I got to give them credit for one thing is that they're persistent. I know they love the planet and I know they want to protect the planet, but they're doing a hell of a lot more harm than good because they're putting their hopes into a government that never listens to them to begin with. They're putting their hopes into scientists who push out all kinds of bogus ass freaking science. I mean, it just flat out, go back into about the 1960s and grab you a science book and then come back and find you a modern day science books and sit there and compare which one has the better science in the thing. The crap that they're teaching these kids in school is dumbing these kids down to the point to where whenever they get out there, if they really do have a problem to solve, they're going to rush to the government to help them out because they ain't got a clue because nothing that they were taught makes any sense. It ain't working. Why is it cold as hell outside whenever there's supposed global warming going on? Then they'll be going, oh, because that changes the jet stream, you know, because of all that cool water coming down in there and it's causing catastrophic weather throughout the freaking globe. It's the most stupid thing I ever heard in my freaking life, man.
Well, last year we had a winter here in Ireland up until nearly May. I mean, we might get frosts in April, but we wouldn't have really extreme cold temperatures. But it was nearly the middle of May before it warmed up. But that was quite easily explained by the meteorite that hit over Russia.
Well, not only has the Earth tilted, its wobble has increased as well. And so you can validate it. All you got to do to validate this is get up early every morning and start marking every single morning where the sun comes up in the morning. It never comes up exactly in the same spot. I don't care. You can do it every single day exactly at whatever time you got sunrise coming up. And you'll find out it never actually comes up at the same spot. That's because we're wobbling.
And when it is a bad thought, Shaziz.
Hold on a second. When that wobble is doing that, it's changing the weather. It's like when I showed in that video back in 2011 of the Earth tilted, you can see where the sun's shining. Now think about it, when the Earth is wobbling, the sun's kind of changing directions where it's shining at all times, you know. It's still going to be cold on the back half because it don't have no direct sunlight. It's still going to be cold as crap on the top, and it's going to be cold as crap on the bottom because it's cold as crap in space, and you're not getting enough heat for long enough to heat up the ground in order to keep it warm during the day. When we heat up the ground in the daytime, then that some of that heat stays in the earth long enough. What by the time it gets around it, it buys us some time. Otherwise, it would be cold as crap all day long. You know, you got winter and you got summer. That's because when the earth is tilted to a degree, you don't have the sun shining as much as you would in the summer. Or in the winter, as you do on the summer. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between the distance because of the elliptical orbit that the Earth goes around the sun. And every so often, we get a hair closer than we normally do. And it goes in cycles. I mean, we're essentially wobbling around the sun. The moon is wobbling around us. It's rocking us back and forth. And then you got to factor in as well that during the solar cycles, you're going to get a little bit more radiation than you normally would. And during the solar minimums, you're not going to get as much, and so the weather's going to change. We get our heat from the sun. You know, it's cold as crap in space. We're three-quarters covered in water, which, you know, when that evaporates, comes back down, when rain's falling, creates cooling, and so on and so forth. So all the whole basis for what they're trying to say about the planet heating up is causing cold is just, to me, just flat out ludicrous.
Doesn't climate change sound very more dramatic than variable weather environments?
Yeah, but what's the next phrase going to be?
But they're exactly the same thing. But here's an easy way to find out if the sun's wobbling and is not in its position it should be. Go to Stonehenge.
Yeah, watch it.
I mean, if that thing isn't lining up, and the pyramids isn't lining up, and none of the other ancient structures that have been there for thousands of years that have been lining up and no longer line up, that's direct evidence that something has changed.
Well, there's so many different factors that come into play when you're talking about our weather on this planet. You've got solar alignments, you know, all the planets getting in line. You got elliptical orbits. You got, like, you heard the term supermoon. The term supermoon wouldn't be around if there wasn't something going on there, which essentially tells us that our moon is in an elliptical orbit with us as well. And
right.
And so, with that said, when the moon is closer, it looks bigger in the sky for one, but it's also creating a hell of a more drag, and so it's shaking things up a bit more. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the moon by itself, as from supposed information, can raise the level of seawater by anything up to about 30 feet when it passes over the surface of large oceans.
Yeah, it actually creates a bulge at the equator, you know?
The gravitational forces that are normally present on the planet are directly impacted by the moon.
But to say that man...
You come to that point of the month where you got a dead low tide and a real high tide. I forget what they call the real high tide. Just because the Earth and the moon are on opposite sides during that point. And then later on in the month, your tides get a little slower and easier, and... And when the moon's on the same side as the sun, it'll do pretty much the same thing, but more on the side that is towards the sun.
Man can affect the weather, but not to the extent to what they're trying to say where CO2 is actually doing this. CO2, to me, it makes me want to throw up in the back of my mouth every time I even say it, because it's just, I'm so sick of hearing the whole global warming scam. You know that if you
they'll tell you that you can't burn wood in your wood stove for heat when they raise the prices up really big.
Yeah.
They'll do that to tell you that we need to cut down on CO2. That's why we have all this bad weather. Don't make it worse.
Well,
yeah, they'll make it illegal for you to burn your wood.
If you
Here's an explanation somebody gave me about CO2, where CO2 isn't actually the problem. The problem is when CO2 settles on ground level, it melts ice, and that releases methane, which is a problem. So, I mean, lads, you're really digging deep into the bottom of the bucket here to come up with an explanation of why we should have to pay carbon taxes to people that, first of all, gave us the problem, then set up an exchange to make money from.
Well,
we get to pay you for limiting our own life activities.
You know what? Go back and look at my doggone...
It ought to be legal for you to burn wood when there's no snow on the ground.
Go back and look at my doggone video, Caveman Killed the Dinosaur, and so, you know, look. If we got a caveman out there and he's trying to build a fire and a dinosaur farts, you know, we're screwed anyway. So, it just makes me want to laugh, man.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, for the usage of a political icon in an incorrect capacity.
I'm just saying, man. You know, I'm glad to see Virtual Labs is getting ready to come online. I mean, we already did a test run on it. You can go on to Virtual Labs here on ShazizRadio.com, and you can listen to what I got to say and take it or leave it if you want. But this is the only option we've got, you know. If we're going to keep on repeating the same doggone thing we've done for the last 5 years, I got better things to do with my life than to sit around and search for something that, you know, I don't believe in. I believe in free energy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And I believe in a whole lot more than that. And I aim to prove it. But in the meantime, to get everybody out there sorted out to where they actually have knowledge and information that they need to build energy devices, I'm saying it's time that we tap into the untouched resource, which is the human mind that we've all been sitting around. There's been thousands of people out there researching everything under the sun, and they come to dead ends because of either A, regulations or suppression or whatever. You know, somebody buys them off, somebody shoots them, they have a heart attack or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, we take this time right now and make it the 2014, the put up or shut up era, where we either do it or we just stop talking about it and then get underneath the skirt of the government and just let the government defend us from the boogeyman. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my definition of free energy is energy that I can produce myself without either being reliant or having obligations to pay anybody else for.
Yeah, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? When's the last time you got a bill from the wind or the earth? You know?
Well, unfortunately, Shaziz, in Spain now, the Spanish government are claiming that if you have solar panels on the roof of your home, you have to pay the Spanish government a fee for the production of that energy.
Well, see, there you go, man. Everything.
Somebody's trying to own nature. Again.
The Spanish government doesn't have exclusive rights over the sun.
And
if they're saying that they own the radio particles, if you like, the light particles that hit the actual physical land mass of Spain, then those boys have really been smoking something weird.
So, if you breathe, pay your carbon tax. If you collect rainwater, you may go to jail. If you have solar panels on your doggone roof, then you got to pay the solar tax. If you have wind out there, you got to pay the save the bird tax from propellers or whatever. Doesn't anybody besides me, even remotely to the tiniest minuscule thought, even think that this is even a little bit ludicrous? Anybody?
I think we all think it's absurd, but we don't know what to do about it.
Well, what I submit that we do about it is we actually get behind one another and we make this virtual labs thing happen. I know for a fact that they are data mining us. I know for a fact that everything that we say is under scrutiny. I know for a fact that all of our videos are being stored on servers somewhere. Somebody thinks enough about our information to actually collect it up and put it off to the side for some purpose or another, whether it be to blackmail us in the future or to have the combined knowledge of all mankind. The government is data mining the entire world via the internet. They are storing information on servers and backing it up for a purpose. Now, knowledge is power.
You're more connected now so they can find you easier.
Yeah, knowledge is power. They're going to sit there and they're going to collect all the knowledge that you can spew out. And so while we're doing this virtual labs thing, they're going to take notes. They're going to, hey, look, he's got a good idea. Let's steal that one. He's got a good idea. Let's steal that one. But the purpose of me wanting to put this virtual lab together is to put all this information out there in the public demand as it comes in, not after it comes in, not trying to get any patents on anything. I give this information to you. You run with it and do whatever it is you want to do with it. Nobody can sell it. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, we'll have to make an agreement. No matter what the government says about each of us, we won't turn away from each other.
Yeah, that's what you know.
That's what they do. They get them all connected so they can sit there and dig up a little bit of dirt, and they find some dirt, they'll expose it to just shun you back out, and then the next thing, if you ain't got dirt on you, they'll put dirt on you.
Well, every one of the alternative energy researchers guys out there are making the same exact mistake. There's a guy out there that does, I'm not going to mention his name, he knows who he is, but he's the most arrogant, thieving person that I can ever possibly imagine as far as the alternative energy community goes along. He'll take ideas, he'll submit these ideas as his own, you know, intellectual property, so to speak, and, you know, he's not helping anybody but himself in the process. All these guys out here, they sit there and they do all this research and they don't interact with each other and share ideas. Instead, they get on alternative energy websites with each other and they'll argue back and forth. Oh, this can't be done. That can't be done. All right. When they design the laws of physics, they may have run the test 10 times. All right. 10 times they got, 9 out of 10 times they got the same result, so that must be one of the laws of physics. But that one anomaly that happened, you just pass that off as something, you know, insignificant, because the majority of the 9 times everything happened. I don't care about that 9 times. I want to know about that one specific anomaly that occurs in every alternative energy device that everyone's out there doing. Like, whether you believe the Searle engine's any good or the PAP engine, in each one of these doggone deals, there's some anomaly that gave them enough to say, well, this is possible. There's something happening in there. You know, the like sliding the magnet down the freaking copper tube and watching it as it slowly, you know, levitates down through that as if it was an invisible umbrella on it. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, look at the maglev trains. They're basically accelerating trains to the speed of a bullet just using magnetism.
Yeah. So there's something to be said there. You know, the monorail, they're basically levitating on a magnetic force, you know. That's a lot of weight to lift up with magnets. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, in every one of these devices, like I said, there are anomalies in every single one of them. I don't care about the second law of thermodynamics or the law of conservation of energy. I want to know what happened that one specific time that you didn't get the same results. That's the one that I'm interested in, and I believe that's the one that Tesla was interested in, was that one anomaly that did something just totally different, you know? Like when we talk about plasma, and I talk about how, you know, science teaches about three states of matter, solid, liquid, and a gas. And plasma, you start getting into the fourth state of matter. The fourth state of matter is like the line. Once you cross that line, everything on that opposite side, you got to throw the rule book out because things just don't make any sense anymore. Particles are appearing and disappearing where they weren't there before. You see what I'm saying?
Well, right. So one thing that people need to be aware of is the periodic table is not complete.
No, we still got elements to be discovered.
So when they say, "Oh, sure, the science is sorted, we know it all," and you say, "Well, you don't even know what all the basic elements are yet."
Oh no, the periodic table is so expanded above what you know. They got into the nanoparticles and building everything.
Yeah, but that's the key, buddy.
Strange carbon atoms in a different way, and it looks like it's as clear as glass.
Muddy, that's the key. You said they. That they.
By just the way that they arrange these atoms in there.
Muddy, that's the key. You said they. We ain't got that access to that, you know. They got it. And we should have access to that. We should have access to all technologies out there. We should... It should be open source where you, if you want to try to better humanity, then you have access. This is what was done in the past. These are the results that came about. And so what can we use this for? You see what I mean?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shazuz, we got half hour left and my throat is as dry as a dingo's backside.
All right. Well, you want to throw a tune on there and take a coffee break?
Yeah, I'll make myself a quick cup of coffee and collect my thoughts, and I'll be back to you in a minute.
All right, cool. Well, everybody stay tuned. We got another, like a half hour of madness going on. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. We got Muddy on here and Steve, and we're going to come back and give it a run after a tune here or two. Let me see if I can... I got the right tune here. I'm just like scrolling up. Can you hear my little deal clicking there? All right, here we go. I like this one.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. they say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound? We'll be right back.
and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Shazia's Mad Science. I'd like to say I'm not anti-government, I'm anti-stupidity, which equals anti-corruption. And so with that said, you know, if we're going to keep on repeating the same mistakes as we've done for God knows how many years since we decided it was in our best interest to have a controlling party above us tell us what we can and can't do while they gain monopolies on everything from solar to wind to water to even just the air that you breathe, you know. As long as we're going to allow them to keep on charging us based on some bogus science to breathe, then we're going to continue to see society deteriorate. We're going to continue to see wars and corruption and crime and ignorance throughout the land. On one hand, they say, well, you can't drink liquor. And so they make it illegal. Then all the people, they raise a ruckus and they sell it any doggone way. And so now, you know, they put the liquor back on, but they also put it on with a whole bunch of taxes and regulations and whatever. Then they say, well, you can't smoke grass, you know, because it grows out there in your yard. You can't get it. And so you can look at it, but you can't grow it. And if you get caught with it on your property, nowadays here in the States, they got this thing known as asset forfeiture seizure, where they come in because it's on your property and they steal all your property. So you have no more property rights because you got something natural growing on your deal. During the break, I happened to mention to Steve about ginseng, and we were talking about there's people out there actually shooting each other over this stuff, you know, because the government has regulated it. A whole lot of people want it, and so now there is a market over there in China for everybody who wants ginseng from all over the globe. Then, you know, the government says you can only go out certain times of the year in order to collect it. What do you think, Steve?
I think that another level of freedom is our ability to be able to produce our own food. And this idea that you'd go onto someone's property and confiscate all their property because nature had decided to grow itself. I mean, they talk about cultivation of this and cultivation of that. I've no more ever grown a plant than anybody's ever grown their children. The plant grows itself. We just assist it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
see. And I'm talking about broccoli and cabbage there, not other alternative horticultural interests.
Well, even at that, even by growing tomatoes can get you jailed over here nowadays, because according to the Food and Drug Administration and the Health and Safety Acts that they've passed through, is that if I grow food and I sell it to somebody, I'm not regulated like stores would be regulated, so I could, like, give somebody E. coli or something like that, you know, because I'm not growing it properly or cleanly or whatever. And so, you know, they pretty much put their hand into that pocket and told everybody, you know, if you want food, you go buy it from the store. Otherwise, you go to jail if you try to get rid of it, you know, give it away or sell it or whatever. So, you know, it just drives me nuts, man.
Well, I'm just grabbing a quick file off the internet there called The Bedroom Gardener's Bible, because I wanted to read a little excerpt from it, which gave me more assistance than pretty much anything else that I've ever looked at with understanding how plants work. One of the things that we need to be aware of is that the core of human blood is iron, but the core of a plant is magnesium. But they're effectively the same. It's just the core is slightly different.
Well, you know,
it's interesting stuff for me, you know.
I think I can say this, and I think you probably agree with me that you know, eating food that's natural from the earth, that hasn't been pesticide all like the you know what, or tampered with via genetic altering, is healthier than going to the store and buying something that God knows what was on it. And so if I grow this in my garden, and I know that I haven't used no pesticides on it, and I give it to my friends, and, you know, something goes awry from there, it couldn't have been from my gardening.
I'm sorry, I can't sit back any longer. What they sell you in the doggone grocery stores ought to be illegal.
Well, yeah.
It is genetically modified to grow its own insecticide. It means you can't wash it off the outside. It's all through it. It's got so much in it that it excretes it to keep the bugs from eating it, so it looks pretty for you so you can make more money. It grows on a closer internodial length so that there's more fruit per foot, and it grows big, and it grows fast, and it's got a predicted time of when it's going to go out so you can plot and plan for your money to figure out when you're going to hire and get these people up for harvest and all that, and get your deals set up at the supermarket. It's all genetically modified, but the deals are, it's not modified for your health, it's modified for resale, it's modified, I set an apple up in my window last year, you know what, that sucker is still up there, and it's just nice and red, but just a lot smaller and harder. Never did rot, got smaller.
The thing to mention with what you're talking about there, Muddy, is this. Insects, a lot of insects are hard to kill anyway. And so you're using something pretty powerful to do this insect in. That can't be good for your body at all.
Yeah, I go put off a roach bomb in my house, and it tells me after I set it off, get out. Well, that's what it takes to kill the bugs. I guess it takes a lot less to kill us. So why are they still putting this stuff in stuff that we're going to eat? It should be illegal. I'm sorry. And because they can't control it and it costs them money is the only reason. And the people in the politics up above us basically are the people that really don't have feelings.
Well, you know,
they wouldn't be able to do the things that they do, like plan the Holocaust and all sorts of crazy stuff and sit there and, yeah, I mean, all the lies are out there present. So me and Thomas were talking, and we were talking about, well, what would be the best way to make sure that we don't get another one of them, you know, yahoos up there in the top with his head spinning in all different directions saying, I am the devil, blah, blah. But anyway, the best way to figure them out is to give them an MRI.
Yeah.
So you give everybody that's eligible to be nominated or voted upon should take an MRI. And if they won't take the MRI, then we ain't going to vote them in office. But then again, they've rigged elections. Who's to say they're not going to rig the MRI?
Hey, you want to hear something funny?
Were
back in the old days, they had food tasters for the king, so the king wouldn't get poisoned. So I submit that before we eat it, we make the elite plate first and let them try it out. You know, this came from this store. This is made out of these products. This is everything that's in it that you sold us as good for us. So eat up. Enjoy. See how many of them push the plate away, you know? You got to lead by example. And their example isn't very reassuring as far as my book's concerned, you know. Anytime you say that the possible side effects are not excluding death, that's a red flag in my book. Maybe I might not want to try this.
That's it. I'm moving to Alaska where I can grow frozen vegetables. Now I don't have to worry about bugs.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's just a testament of what we've been hollering about for as long as we've been doing the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science. Is that it's ludicrous for all the people of the world to actually sit out there and keep on repeating the same damn thing from the same turkeys. Some of them stay up in office for 20, 30 years, you know. They somehow or another magically get reelected every year. And as we're sitting here yelling about what it is that they keep on doing to us because they said they were going to do this, but then when they got in there, they did that instead. And we're all sitting here pissing and moaning because we can't get nothing done right, and we can see we're going off the cliff. Somebody needs to reach over and push on the brakes, and I think that's what we're doing. Is we are, you know, we're like the dream team. All of us are diving on the brakes, saying, "Hold on, stupid! You're going over the cliff, but you ain't going with us."
Yeah. I still think the MRI thing is a good thing.
That's a good plan. But I think I think you need to go further with that. I think you need to have them drug tested, psychologically tested. I mean, tested of everything under the sun.
CAT scan, the whole schmear.
And they need to be tested on the Constitution. They need to be able to recite the entire Constitution word for word, even the Bill of Rights word for word, and understand what it means to say that I swear to uphold and protect the constitutions of the world. You know.
And give them a CAT scan then to see if they're lying.
Yeah, put them on a lie detector while they're taking a test.
That's
well,
right.
I mentioned to Muddy during the break that I've been doing a lot of research on plant nutrients. Some of this is to do with my interest in aquaponics, but some of it is general growing food anyway. But most people don't realise that there are actually about 16 elements that plants require to grow healthily. Now, nitrogen, potassium and phosphate, or NPK, are the primary building blocks of most plants. But
nitrogen,
you've also got
potassium and what?
Phosphate. Now, one of the things that they do use is phosphate that's a byproduct of uranium enrichment. And they put that on the soil and grow food with it. Organophosphates.
Oh, that makes my head hurt just thinking about it.
But, I mean,
well, they get some of that from urine, too, don't they?
In the Bedroom Gardener's Bible, which is aimed specifically at people growing cannabis, it does give some very good tips that you don't find in a lot of other documents. And if it works for one plant, it'll work for many plants. It may be tailored specifically to this species of plant, but many plants work on similar ideas. I mean, if you take nitrogen in, if you want a nutrient deficiency, plants need a lot of N or nitrogen during their vegging period, which would be the pre-flowering period for most plants. Usually it's up to about 4 weeks, but it could be as short as two. It's easy to overdo it. Added too much, just flush your soil. That means you put three times the volume of water through the container than the size of the container itself. Soluble nitrogen, especially nitrate, is the form that's most quickly available to the roots, while insoluble N, like urea, which comes from fish's gills, by the way, first needs to be broken down by microbes in the soil before the roots can absorb it. So what the question I would be asking is all of this nitrogen that commercial farmers are putting on the soil, is it urea or is it soluble nitrogen?
So,
because it would actually make more sense that they put something in the soil that would be broken down by microbes, because that would be a time release system. But the problem is it keeps releasing it beyond your growing period.
I had a friend of mine who had a really amazing garden, and he had like huge vegetables that come up out of this garden. He didn't use any kind of fertilizer or anything like that. Only thing he did was every day that when he went out to water his garden, he'd go down and he'd get the water out of the pond, and he'd put the pond water on there. And his garden looked better than anybody's garden for miles around. And so he was using all natural, basically fertilizers for, his growing there, and it worked out well. So with all the other chemicals that the farmers use these days, that I'm sure that some of them are like by regulation they have to use a certain pesticide or whatever, but somebody's making a fat load of cash off the farmers. The farmers are getting screwed as far as I'm saying.
Well, the problem with genetically modified foods that are producing their own toxins or pesticides is that in our stomachs we have a symbiotic relationship, what's known as the internal flora. It's the bacteria in our stomach that help us digest food. And these BT pesticides, which have been used by organic gardeners for quite a long time, kill the flora in our stomachs. So we're no longer able to absorb food in the same sort of beneficial ways that the nutrients from food in the same beneficial way as we were before when we eat genetically modified foods.
And then they wonder why people are getting constipated. They do that like to sell you some more freaking X-Lax.
Well, the whole point of it is they're putting something into the food chain that's actually detrimental to our health, and they do not care.
So we can figure this kind of stuff out. Is there any reason why our supposed representatives around the world couldn't figure this out, or why these supposed educated scientist guys out there that believe in global warming / climate change / the new freezing is the new warming concepts?
Look, the difference between the 19th century and the 21st century is they still use coercive force to get their way, but the difference is now they're using kid gloves.
Yeah, we're looking out for your better interest while you're looking down the barrel of our gun, so to speak.
When somebody says to you, hand over your firearms down the barrel of a gun, well, you know exactly where you're living then, don't you?
Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, we're down to the last 5 minutes, so with that said, it's time to go around. Well, we're not at the Knights of the Round Table, but I seem like every one of our mad science shows end up being a Knight of the Round Table anyway. We're bringing good ideas to the table, and that's what it's all about. And so with that said, Muddy, you got any last deals? Keep in mind, brother, we're going down to the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it all brings me back to that commercial of the Alka-Seltzer. It was one of the early ones there. He says, here, try it. You like it. He says, so what is it? He says, just try it. You'll like it. He says, yeah, so I tried it. Thought I was going to die. Yeah, it's the government's about like that. They say, oh yeah, this is good for you. Try it. Yeah, go off on that. I think I'm done there.
Well,
many good things to you and yours.
I had a bad experience with Alka-Seltzer. My mom was going to cure a stomach ache and gave me a big glass of Alka-Seltzer. I had the stomach ache from eating too much, and then guess what? I had an even worse stomach ache after drinking that. What about you, Steve?
Au revoir.
All right, well, that's short and sweet, and that wraps up the whole Mad Science show there. Beverly is Hope Show coming up. Hope you stay tuned and give her a listen and call in and say hi to her and that kind of stuff. And hope you join me on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. I think we're on the right track. I think if we get Virtual Labs up and running and we keep doing what it is we're doing and we keep building these other networks and combining them in with one another, you know, not as under, you know, one radio network per se, but as an umbrella to where if somehow or another they blast one of us off, the other ones will take up where the other guy left off and keep the positivity rolling out there to the world. That's what I hope for Virtual Labs, and that's what I hope to accomplish by Shaziz Radio. And so with that said, peace and love to everybody. Take care.
All right.